truth demands change. And what I want to do right to start with is slay a dragon in your heavens. Because one of the things for years is when truth comes, you've got to get up. You can't just sit there and be comfortable anymore. It demands change in your life. Hallelujah. And the dragon that everybody's been worried about is a very easy thing to deal with. It's in your heavens. And its head and its tail you'll find in Isaiah 9. The head of the dragon are the traditions of man that make the word of God of none effect. And the tail of the dragon is that voice that tells you, where do you think you're going? Get back in this group. Get back down here where you belong on this earth. Quit thinking those thoughts of the stars, of the heavens, of being spiritual, being anything beyond. You know, every church has been established and started with one man getting a thought and everybody buying into that thought. And any church you go sit in, they have their box. And as long as you think within their box, you're one of us. We love you. But if you dare to think outside of that box, and I think most of us in here have experienced that, you find out what the left foot of fellowship is all about. Why? Because you start thinking beyond where they're at. And I don't have control over you anymore. You see, that's the issue. Man wants to control you. This Bible was written from a perspective of man controlling you. There's a book out called The Da Vinci Code. I love it. If you haven't read it, read it. Any book that's written like that, and all of a sudden within 3 weeks, 12 books are written against it, you know, something happening there. But what The Da Vinci Code is, the basis of it is the feminine spirit. And what happened was, I personally think Mary Magdalene was a disciple whom Jesus loved. And that's okay. And see, what happened is Peter, that old rough guy, said, I don't want her to know anything I don't know. Make that woman be quiet. Who does she think she is? And so the Catholic Church jumped up and said, she's a harlot. You realize 1,000 years later, the Catholic Church apologized for calling her that? Did you ever wonder why? Because they wanted the masculine to suppress the feminine voice in the land. Well, you can bring that right into your world, because guess what? This is the earth we're to control. This is your universe. Here I am with all my planets spinning around. Hopefully they're all aligned now. I hit a bump in the road. Now I've got them spinning in the right directions. I love those guys that kind of check my energy field, and they said, you're spinning backwards. We've got to get this thing straightened out. Because we're a ball of energy. That's who you are. You were made a ball of energy. Einstein made a very simple statement when he said E equals MC squared. Your energy that's been slowed down to become mass. But if we speed you up, times the speed of light, times the speed of light, you become pure energy again. How do you think Jesus got out of that building that morning? When he was preaching to them Pharisees, they were mad as fire. Half of them got up, went outside, he got stones. They wouldn't come back and finish him off. They came back into the room. Every eye was on him. And it says he just walked right through him and nobody touched him. He's just vibrating at a different frequency. That of love, not that dense frequency. You know, that's who you are. You are a ball of love, a ball of energy. And just like Jesus, what does it say? He was lured into this realm to have an experience as the man Jesus. You were lured into this realm to have the experience of who you are.
That's right.
That's why we're here. Has anybody ever stopped and said, hey, what the heck am I doing here? You realize planet Earth is nothing more than a speck of dust strewn out on the wings of the Milky Way galaxy? And we think we're the center of everything. 1,000 years ago, we thought we were the center of the universe. We're but a speck of dust thrown out on the wings of the Milky Way. Oh man, who do you think you are? Who are you? You're the offspring of the Most High. Amen. This world is nothing but a school for the gods.
Amen.
Take a deep breath. You're in training. You're learning who you are, what this experience is all about. Because we have a big universe. You know how big the universe is? You can hold a penny at arm's length. And there can be as much as 1,000 galaxies behind that penny, each one having billions of stars. At the speed of light, it takes us 24 hours to get outside of our little solar system. 186,000 miles a second. But it takes 4.5 years to get to the next star. Does that give you an idea? I tell you, I encountered something the other day that kind of blew me away. I love trees. I love nature. I've traveled between San Francisco and Seattle probably 10 times in the last few years. And I always take the coast road so I can go up there and see the redwoods. I love those 3,000-year-old trees. I was just over in Lake Mary. And Lake Mary is interesting because it has the oldest tree in Florida. There's a tree in Lake Mary that's 3,500 years old. It's the oldest cypress tree in the world. And I'm sitting there watching this tree, looking up. It's about 350 feet tall. Hurricane took a lot of it out the top years ago, but it's still pretty tall. It seemed 3,500 years old. And I watch a plane fly by, and I think that plane's only been up there 70 years. That tree was there 3,400 years before that plane ever got up there. And all of a sudden, everything started coming into perspective. You see, the prophet Habakkuk picked it up one day. And he said, though I tell you what's happening in this day, you wouldn't even believe it. God says in Isaiah, says, that which I do in this day, I will create new, so nobody can say I knew that. Guess what? You ain't never read a book about this day. You've read a lot of men's possibilities. But the book in this day is you and I. We are the living book that's being written for this day. And the seals are coming off your book to reveal the reality of your life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he said, I have not seen no heart perceived. I have not seen nor ear heard, nor heart perceived. That which the Father has prepared for those. I used to say, yeah, we've seen that, been there and done that. We haven't even begun to taste that yet. The revelation of the life is breaking forth in this day which we stand. It's a beautiful day. And see, we are learning not to be afraid of words anymore. Find out what words mean. I used to hate that word judgment. Man, that was a bad word. You know, I discovered one day it just means to make right which is wrong. It's a good word.
Absolutely.
Vengeance. Oh, that's a bad one. It means justice measured out. Hallelujah. You see, all those words are good words. What about the outer darkness? Means you have no understanding. You just walk around in darkness. You know where most people are at? Just walking around in a dream world, creating their darkness. And so words have a meaning in that, and we need to know. Now, one of the first things we find out is we're initiated into a mystery. The word mystery is an interesting word. It's the Greek word mysteron. And it means a sacred secret. And the farther you walk in this, you find out, the more the secrets unveil to you. Right?
Yes, yes.
Now, do you tell everybody all your secrets?
No.
You'll get in trouble with some people, I'll tell you. And so we learn real quickly, I ain't going to do that again. You see, we have been initiated into a sacred secret with the express image of keeping that secret.
That's it.
And so what we have here this morning is a field full of treasure.
Absolutely.
And each one of us in here is a treasure chest.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
You're a treasure chest because within you is hidden the treasure. Hallelujah. If you had to hide the most precious thing in the world and you were going to hide it today and you knew you wouldn't be back for 20 million years, where would you hide it? And I challenged a bunch of kids one day. I said, where would you hide it? And they said, well, we'd put it on the bottom of the ocean in a treasure chest. We'd hide it on top of a mountain in a cave. And I kept saying, somebody's going to find it there. Why don't we just hide it in man?
Yes.
You see, man's never been lost.
That's right.
God's been lost.
That's it.
You ready for that one?
Yep.
And the search has not been to find out who man is. The search has been to find where God is.
Yes.
And he looked all out here and said, he's on Mount Sinai. He's on the Mount of Olives. He's in Jerusalem. He's everywhere out here. 2,000 years ago, what did they say? He's going to ride in on a white horse, beat up all the bad guys, and make Jerusalem the capital of the world. And he came as a baby. And the religious world missed him because they were looking in the wrong place. Today, where are they looking? Out there for somebody to ride in on a white horse and beat up all the bad guys. Who are they? I don't know. You read the Bible, said it made all nations one blood. So, I mean, everybody, it is one.
Right.
You're one with everybody on this planet.
That's right.
No more us and them. I hate that.
Yeah.
That's us.
That's right.
Just a different expression.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You see? And so all of a sudden, we're getting a new picture being painted and understanding.
Yes. Right.
Our Father, hallelujah, has everything under control.
Yes.
He's causing a people to see him in this day and hour and to flow in him.
Yeah.
Amen. And so the mystery is within us, the Christ within us.
Yes.
You see, there's a scripture there in Galatians chapter 1 where Paul makes a statement that settles the whole issue. If you just understand this one scripture, everything else is okay.
Yeah.
And that is, when it pleased the Father who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal the Son in me.
Amen.
Paul came to the revelation that everything he would ever need is already in him. Everyone in this room can say that. Everything you will ever need in this life is already in you. Now what happens out here? We get so busy. You haven't seen the list of the things I've got to do. I just sent out an email. It was called busyness. A disease. We get so busy, we forget. There's something inside of us saying, come in and sup with me, and I will sup with you. Ooh, the union, the fellowship. But you don't know, I've got a list of things I've got to do today that are so important. You realize the world, most people on the planet right now are trying to change something that can't be fixed, that can't be changed. It's called prioritize. There's a new word going around called fwansway. What is it?
Fwansway.
And that is, get rid of all your clutter. Get rid of the clutter in your life. Well, see, that's what we do. We get involved in our list of 10 things, 7, 8, 9, and go so busy there, we forget 1, 2, and 3. You see, we're trying to create something and change something, and we've got it all out of order. There's two little words I found on a wall in a monastery between Boone and Blowing Rock. It was called serenity and solitude. And I sat there and watched those two words, and I said, that's what I want my life to be. I want to find serenity and solitude. I want to find a place that I can come and be and get to know that one within me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Any book or movie or whatever you might read out here, at best, all it can do is confirm what is in here.
Yeah.
You already know it. You really do, and it's just confirmed. That's all I can do. I can't tell you anything new. I can just confirm the reality of your life. You know what John said about that? He said, you have one in you that will teach you, and you have no need of no man to teach you.
Amen.
For the Holy Spirit will teach you. Yeah. And it's not an exterior. Exterior voice will confirm what you're hearing on the inside.
Right.
There's a big prophetic movement going on right now. Everybody I visit, they're in that, they have their stack of tapes, how God has spoken to them. They're all trying to live according to the tapes. And every one of them's frustrated. Because you can't do it.
That's right.
And I tell those prophets, I say, you don't teach people to hear the voice of a prophet. You teach them to hear the voice within.
That's right.
And the prophet might confirm what you're hearing. But I can't live on the voice of a prophet. I've got to live on the voice within that directs and tells me where and how to. That's where you find life. Paul had that is a Christ in you.
Amen.
It's drawing out of that life within you. There's nothing outside going to change anything on this planet.
That's right.
There's nobody coming in the clouds out there. They're coming in the clouds in here.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And this morning we're not clouds without water that it speaks of in Jude. We're clouds with water that are starting to embrace this word and come to a place in life that we can start to impart that life one to another. Hallelujah. We're just here to confirm one another. Can you imagine somebody sitting in a church pew for 20 years? Nothing changed. I had a vision one night. I looked out then. It was nothing but 200-pound ears sitting out there. Without bodies. They've heard, and nobody moved. Nobody changed. Just the same old, same old. I mean, go back and check it out. It ain't changed a whole lot. They're singing the same songs they sang 20 years ago. Trying to get you to the old rugged cross. I got news for you. You can stop and sing to the door all day long. Oh, door, I love you. Oh, door, I love you. You're a wonderful door. And the door says, come on in.
Yes.
You got to open the door and go through to find the reality of your life, the Christ in you. And see, that's what's happened. Jesus kept telling them, don't worship me. Don't make me a king or a prophet. There's no good thing in me. I have come to reveal the Father.
Amen.
That was this whole song. I've come to show you the Father. I am the manifestation. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because of myself, I can do nothing. The words I speak are not my own, but I hear my Father. Was he hearing an exterior voice or an internal voice? Exactly the same voice you've got within you. Hallelujah. That's why these good words like meditation are coming to the forefront. You've got to learn how to find a quiet spot. Our minds are so active. Man, wow, they can... I found out a few years ago when I started, learning silence, my mind was spending so much time in the past, it was ridiculous. You realize there's absolutely nothing you can change in the past?
That's right.
Ain't nothing. I would go in those rooms and I would try and every way I could to make it better than it was, and it was useless. You can't change anything in the past.
No, you can't.
And Jesus came along and said, let the dead bury the dead.
Right.
You come and follow me.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's where we find life.
Yes.
And then one day I started projecting to the future. And I, in the midst of anything, I could go sit on the beach in the Bahamas, having a wonderful breeze, letting the world go by, but I wasn't living in reality. I was living in the imagined world. I said, enough of these imaginations, these vain imaginations. It's time to get to the now.
Amen.
Dong! Usually have my little bing. It brings me back to focus because through all the varying experiences I've had the past year, which have been rather interesting,
yeah.
I have to constantly stay focused. I have to focus to walk where I fall down. I have to focus to think.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. And so I keep my little thing to keep me focused.
Yep.
Do you realize when we live in the now, it's a perfect moment?
Absolutely.
Think about it. This moment, there is not a need in this room. Because everything's perfect. 3 seconds from now is a different world. Or 3 seconds ago. But in the now. How long is it now? Somebody hit a chime for me just a minute. Ding. There you go. One more time. Now. It's an eternal now. It goes on. You just follow with it. See? That's the now. That's embracing the reality of this moment. Hallelujah. You are a ball of energy, a ball of love. And in you there is a river. That as you learn to release that river, it'll start to touch those around you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I love it when somebody comes in the room and the whole room lightens up. You know, if somebody with a bad attitude or a bad spirit came running in that door and everybody would go, what's he here for? What's he doing? He affected every one of us because we didn't know what he was up to. Well, the same way with you and I, we walk in a room, the whole atmosphere changes. The heavens get lighter. Why? Because there's no war in me. I have nothing to fight.
That's it.
Anybody got any enemies?
No.
I'll tell you what, God don't have no enemies.
Right.
If God had an enemy, he wouldn't be God.
Right.
They're all imaginations.
Yeah. Yep.
As I said one time right here, I said when you hypnotize somebody to believe there's a pit bull biting their heels and they're up here running around trying to get away from it, everybody else is laughing. Why? There ain't no pit bull there.
Right.
It's all in his head.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what's happened in this world situation, in this journey. Adam fell asleep, and he started creating out of his dream world. And he created all these booger bears. Ooh, I used to see them. Back in Maori days in the 70s, I would hang around people like Derek Prince. And we would chase demons. We would come into a meeting with 1,000 people and convince them they all had demons. And then we would start rebuking them and we'd stop by Kentucky Fried Chicken first and get a bunch of buckets so they could throw up in them. And we'd go around and catch all the demons in the Kentucky Fried Chicken buckets. It was the wildest thing I've ever seen in my life. People with good sense would be down there gnawing on the legs of pews and barking like a dog and throwing up, and the place was a zoo. Finally, one day I said, boy, this is wearing me out. I quit looking for them, they all disappeared. How come the Baptists don't get to fight them? They ain't looking for them. They ain't looking for them. What you're looking for, you're going to find.
That's right.
What you need, you're going to get.
That's it.
Now here comes the greatest revelation I had. We're all nothing but mirrors to one another. Think about it. That guy makes me so mad. Guess what? There's madness in your heavens. And he's just reflecting who you are. So you got to take a good look at yourself. That's what you're saying yourself. Then one day you say, hey, I let him just be who he is. You know, one of the greatest revelations you ever get is to realize everybody on this planet is right where they're supposed to be. Doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, and they all will be there until, and everybody has an until word. If you need a Hitler, I'll raise one up. I mean, God was sitting around one day and says, I need a lying spirit. Who will go for me? Do we have any volunteers? Want to be a lying spirit today in the mouth of the false prophets? Somebody said, I'll do it. And God sent a lying spirit there. I think Judas was so flipped out by the time he got there to the upper room that he was having second thoughts about what he was supposed to do. And I really believe Jesus had to carry him outside and put his arm around and said, now, Judas, I need you to be a good Judas. I need you to do your destiny. Go quickly and do that what you got to do. And Judas did it. You see, you need a Judas. Look at poor Pharaoh. He was like a puppet on a string. Every time he said, you guys, get out of here. Go away. God would harden his heart. He'd send his armies and try to kill him. That guy didn't have a chance. He was just being who he had to be. Doing what he had to do. Oh. Wow, when you wake up, this is a wonderful journey, isn't it? I mean, I love it. One of the things that some of you are reading a book around here, and some people are scared of, called the Celestine Prophecy. Well, I got news for you. I read that about 10 years ago when it came out. I fell in love with it. Because there are four things in there, especially, that everybody's got to know. And one of them is called control dramas. And everybody plays them. But once you start to see them, you don't have to play into them anymore. And it sets you free. Poor me, you just don't understand. I've always been this way. I just can't make it. And all of a sudden, that poor me draws people to it and say, well, I'm so sorry you're that way. And the intimidator gets his energy by intimidating people. One of my best friends over in Vero, Nick Cruz, does anybody know him? They were going to be here this weekend, but they stuck out and went to the Bahamas on me. Oh. Big Greek guy. 6'5", about 400. Wow. Maybe 350. But he could come in there and raise his voice, and he'd suck the energy out of everybody. I mean, you go, like a dish rag. I mean, he could do it. He knew what he was doing, too. So I got his daughters together and his wife. I said, we're going to do a trick on him next time he tries that. We're all going to go like this. Energy sucker, energy sucker. We called him an R jacker. You ain't jacking my R no more. Well, you know what? After we did that a few times, he started realizing what he was doing. And today he don't do that no more. He moved into a new paradigm. He's an interrogator. You get to see him, he'll start asking you questions. What do you do? Where have you been? So all of a sudden I said, no more interrogations. I give up. So just let people be who they are. If they love you, they'll tell you all about themselves.
Absolutely.
Just sit there quietly. Be a good listener. Yeah. I see it. Be a good listener. Absolutely. I love to hear what's happening in your heavens.
Yes.
I mean, just get together and just share out of what you're hearing. We have gatherings now that are called puzzle gatherings. Everybody brings their piece to the puzzle. We start to put it together. It makes a better picture.
Yeah.
One man doesn't have it all.
Right.
So everybody has a piece to the puzzle. That's the beauty of this day. We're all gathering to ourselves the puzzle. Now, what are the things that happened there in the third chapter of Habakkuk? He makes a statement. He says, write the vision and make it clear, make it plain. Today, we're all a voice. Okay? And we're, let's call it a bridge. Think of it. Here's the religious world. Here's the reality of life. Now, most of the religious world, what controls the religious world? Fear. Fear. And the other thing that keeps them motivated is they put a carrot in front of a donkey. You'll never get there. You'll never get it. They'll give you all the promises. One day, Jesus is going to come back.
Yeah.
One day, you'll be a prophet. One day, you'll be a teacher. But it's always out there in front of you somewhere. One day, you'll go to heaven and walk on the pearly gates.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about that one day. I went back to thinking where that doctrine came from, this mansion thing. That doctrine came out right at the end of the Great Depression, 1929. Nobody had anything, and the black soloist stood up one day and says, I have a hope. I have a mansion over there, and Jesus is my next-door neighbor. And they have golden streets and diamond doorknobs. And everybody sang the song for a week and started believing that. What a dream! She took it out of one scripture. John chapter 14, verse 1, where it says, in my Father's house there are many mansions.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, everywhere else is translated, there are many abodes. Hello, abodes.
Yes, right.
There are many abodes of our Father, all in this room. In my Father's house there are many. See, all of a sudden, the whole thing's coming into perspective. Yes. It's wonderful. What a beautiful day we're standing in. Hallelujah. The day is dawning and all the shadows are fleeing away. We've lived in a shadow realm for 2,000 years. We've hung the stake up here and said, let's chop the shadow. And everybody tried to eat the bread. Finally, one day we said, the heck with the shadow mess. I want the steak. I want the reality. Don't tell me about the shadow. Types and shadows are there for our learning, but I want the reality. You sit there all day and drink the wine, eat the bread, and think you're going to get somewhere. But the reality is that person sitting beside you is the bread. Partake of them. And I have to handle you like I would handle him. See, I don't talk about you anymore. I don't say bad things about you because I realize you're the Christ. You know, Jesus had been with us for 3 years walking around. Finally, one day, he looked at the 12 and said, okay, guys, who am I? They scratched their head and said, well, you're a good prophet. You might be Elijah. Come back in the flesh. Oh, you're a great healer or teacher. Finally, Peter stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who are you today? Well, I'm a school teacher. I'm retired. I'm a farmer. I'm a this, I'm a that. No, that's just what you're doing. You are the Christ.
Yes.
You are the Son of the living God.
Yes, that's right.
That's who you are. That's your true identity. You see, we're living in a time where we have an identity crisis on this planet. People don't know who they are. So what do? They did one of those, whatever they call them. Took a poll, survey, poll. To those guys in the gangs, and they said, why are you in this gang? And they said, we wanted something to identify with. Watch them. If you want to identify to be a fisherman, you just put fishing poles in the back of your truck. You drive around with your fishing sign, stickers, I'd rather be fishing. Or if you want to be a hunter, you put your gun back there. You see, it's that identity crisis. Kids, they see it on television. You realize they ask a bunch of girls that are in college, do you like your looks? 98% of them said no. Because they set the standard of what Hollywood told us you should look like. And so they're always trying to be something else. When the reality is, you are beautiful. You're wonderful right where you're at, sitting. And that is only as you love yourself. Can you be released to love others?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're beautiful.
Yes.
You're just wonderful.
Yes.
You look just like me. We're reflecting one another. And the joy of that is there are many expressions. I'm glad everybody doesn't look like me. Or look like anyone else. But we all are our individual expression of who the Father is.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, I was learning silence, which is a very neat thing. I was going to sit in silence for 3 weeks. Wow, try that sometime. Oh! So I found me a cabin in North Georgia. And I sat there, and for the first 2 days, I just looked at my Bible, tried to figure out all the things I needed to do. And the third day, I stepped beyond the Bible into myself. And all of a sudden, I had need of nothing. My thoughts were brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And for the next 3 weeks, I vibrated in such a place that even animals, deer, would come walking up to me.
Wow.
I don't know. They sensed no fear, no nothing in me. Why? Because I was just set aside at that moment to experience that experience. Hallelujah. And at the end, I remember saying, Father, I don't want to go back to that flesh body anymore. I like it here. This is where it's happening. I love it. And the Father very gently spoke back to me and he said, I have many spirits in this realm. But what I desire now is I desire to so live my life in and through a people that when you encounter them, you encounter me.
Yes.
Whoa, think about that one. Guess who you're encountering with that person sitting beside you? And I thought it was the devil. I love getting all of them devil people now saying, you better quit rebuking God. That's God sitting there. And all of a sudden I learned how to be gentle and kind and merciful. Why are we here? To gather to ourselves the very characteristics of our Father.
Yes.
To learn to experientially walk in love.
Yes.
And mercy.
Yes.
And peace and compassion and kindness with one another. That's who we are. And then one day I decided we don't just have peace. We be peace. We be love. That's who we are. And remember that parable he gave us there in Jeremiah, the prophet of the wine bottles, and he said, you have not been kept and poured from bottle to bottle because your scent remaineth the same. Pop into somebody that's angry, what comes out of them? Anger. Bump into somebody that's dealt with it, and all you're going to get is love. Bump again. Bump again. I only scent. That's our scent. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you are the fragrance of Christ. Have you ever walked by a garden and smelled a fragrance? I tell you, one hit me walking in front of that store, that park yesterday. The fragrance is incredible. I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. But it just captivated me. I want to find the fragrance. That's what you are. You are the fragrance of Christ.
Absolutely.
When you walk in, that fragrance starts to permeate the area of the building. Because guess what? That's what the Song of Solomon is all about. Awake thou that sleepest, for the day is dawn and the shadows are flee away. Come, O north wind, come, O south, blow upon my garden.
Yeah.
Fire! That fragrance starts to go out and permeate the earth. Because in chapter 5, verse 1, it says, come, O friends, come, eat and drink. We're literally inviting creation into our space.
Yes.
To have a meal. Yes. Because there ain't no more death and hell and poverty and lack and sickness and disease and all that craziness there. Hallelujah. You see how our world's expanding? There's one scripture I want to read. Prophet Joel. I woke up, I could not shake this thing this morning. Joel the prophet. I couldn't couldn't check it this morning, so I guess I'll read it. Which I'm excited I can read now. I couldn't read for 8 months. Yes, it's wonderful. Speak to this thing. Chapter 2. Prophet Joel. What he's dealing with is the day of the Lord. I mean, if you know the day of the Lord, it's not necessarily going to look the way we think it's going to look. But he said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. A trumpet is a prophetic voice. It's a voice within you. For you are the Zion of God, the dwelling place of the Most High. That's who you are. This is your land. This is your earth. And then it says, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Who are the inhabitants of the land? The fears and the doubts and the things that have controlled us for all those years. It's time for them to get out of the land. Hallelujah. Our land's going to flow with milk and honey. The day of the Lord comes, and it's not at hand. You know the day of the Lord is an ever-present day. John went to the Isle of Patmos. He was called up into the day of the Lord. I was reading the Revelation one time in chapter 22. I was kind of called up. All of a sudden, I heard this little voice to me saying, I was there too. I said, who is that? So I read that, and I found there was an angel there, and Jesus is there, and John's there. And I said, well, who are you, angel? He says, I'm Paul. Paul the apostle was sitting there. And John kept following in his feet. And Paul kept saying, get up here. Don't worship me. I'm one of you. How do you know it's Paul? He signed the book. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Jesus put a sign that way. And John wanted to sign that way. That's Paul's signature. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Paul was called up and living out of that day. Hallelujah, this is that ever-present day. Have you got time to be called up into the day, this day?
Yes.
You know, oh, I'm a little busy today. I have things to do. No, we're learning to get unbusy. Get it away. Solitude, serenity, meditation, good words. Hallelujah. Let's see what happens here. To those, it's a day of darkness. Man, is it a day of darkness in religion? Is it a day of darkness in I mean, can you imagine? I used to be in the kingdom circles. I know most of the biggies. They're saying exactly the same thing they were saying 10 years ago. 20 and 30, they're just rehashing. And now what do? Who is the leftovers? Sometimes that prodigal son's got to wake up to nothingness. I will return to my father's house. At least I'll get a good meal there. They're just rehashing and rehashing. You're waking up. I need a new meal. I've had enough of the old stuff. One day something good happened. One day this, hey, somebody stop and think. What is the definition of insanity? Do the same thing over and over and over and over and over. Thinking, this thing will hurt next time as I bump my head against the wall. Boom. It's insanity. Just sit there and think one day, and this is what life's about. I mean, this is a wonderful walk in life we have. It really is. Some of us are getting a little older. I might have a limp now. It's okay. I found a picture for it. It's Donald Solomon. Who is that coming out of the wilderness leaning on their blood? And a little limp. It's okay. I learned to lean. Look what happened in verse 3. A fire boweth before them. Remember, the mind of man is painted fire to be a bad thing. They threaten us with a lake of fire. Guess what? Our God is a consuming fire. My minister shall be a flame of fire. Fire is good, it just purifies. A number of years ago, I was in a fiery trial. The prophet came by and said, "Prophet, get me out of this mess. I'm burning up." He made a very simple statement. He said, "The only thing that can be hurt fire is fire. Become fire." And all of a sudden, I love fire. I embraced the fire. It became my friend. There were no more fiery trials anymore. See, the very thing you resist is what you give power to summon your life. It's not, "Lord, I resist nothing." And I embrace all. And that will set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You resist it. And you give it. How many times you said, "I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again." And the more you say that, the more you do it. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lose weight. I'm getting weight. I'm getting weight. I'm going to just stand back and say, "Let it be what it's got to be." Give me wisdom. I want wisdom. But I just got to let it be what it's got to be. And that way you're free. You're free of it. Hallelujah. Don't fight it. Don't be free. It says there's a fire. This fire is a wonderful thing. Before them is a flame. Burns up and makes them like him. And it says, the land before them as the garden of Eden, and behind them is their son goes. You see this whole thing? You ever thought you'd go around in a circle? That's what it's all about. All the matter, all being processed in, that all may end up back in our Father. You want scripture for it, you'll find in the last chapter of Romans 16:31, I think it is. It's called the law of circularity. You see, that's our journey. Now remember this above all things. Our journey and our walk and our life is up at school. You have to go to kindergarten, first grade, and second grade, and third grade. And if you notice, most of the teachers just stay in the grade. Yes, they do. She heard that. And they want you to stay there with them. To keep your money there, so they'll be happy, and they can drive a new car. Think about it. And all of a sudden, you can't stay in the second grade all your life. It's time for you to start to grow. But as you grow, you lose everything that used to be back there. All my friends! I passed in the church with a lot of people. There's only a handful standing with me now. They're all sitting back in the second grade singing the same songs, praying for me who's been deceived. That's not that it's so impossible. It is possible. It's an impossibility. But I love my grandchildren. I love those in the kindergarten. I can get them playing with them. Guess what? I can live there. I can visit them, have a wonderful time. But about 3 days is it for me because I got three of them. It's still a little twin girls that are 9 months old. After about 3 days, it's time for me to leave. And I go away. I was ministering over in Lake Mary, and I got some crazy reason. I started talking Indian. We were all talking Indian in the meeting. We went to the store the next day, talking to the somebody in the store. I went to the store at the post office. She's talking Indian to the guy. I said, "They're talking Indian to him." He tried to give us some steps, the fellas on it. It was like a game we were playing. I just caught up in it. It became a way of life. And hallelujah. Whatever that was.
did. We just enjoyed it. We had a wonderful time. Because the garden is set there before us. How was Adam before the fall? Walking in pure consciousness. He walked with the Father in the cool of the Spirit of the day. And the voice of the end. Then all of a sudden, the whole knowledge of the tree of good and evil. What is the nature of life? The collective spirit of a garden popped up, and everything got messed up. And when he stepped out, death, destruction, poverty, lack, sickness, poverty, all those things came on the planet. Now all of a sudden, we have the scripture that says, death has to be put on the feet. You see, the reality is nobody has died for 2,000 years. Because Jesus abolished death. They just keep putting off this outward form, stepping into the invisible realm. Now, I've said that a few times. That is how I've been in the invisible realm for a while now. I can walk and talk and have other churches and everybody and love and this is not happening planet in our universe, by the way. This is the happy planet. You come here to be